No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard, it's been an interesting day for sure around the United States. I try to be largely apolitical on this show, and today will not be an exception. I know that many of you obviously come to my show, and shows like mine is kind of a haven, kind of a break from all that, and so. We're not going to get political, but it would be insensitive to ignore the tragedy that has happened in the United States. And there are a few things that I want to say about this. The first thing that I would like to say is that I love each and every one of you. I do. Whether we've met, whether we never meet, I love you and I want good things to happen for you in your life. Whatever is wrong in your life, I hope that the good Lord fixes it. I do. That's how I feel. I don't want harm to come to anybody. I have very strong opinions about a lot of things that aren't necessarily disconnected to sports. I've got some very strong disagreements with people, but I don't want to see them dead. I got some people in our industry that I've got disagreements with. But I would rather them be around to watch me win. You know, I've never been one to shy away from competition or debate and none of that sort of stuff. It didn't bother me, you know, and I'm okay being wrong sometimes. I don't like to be, but I understand that I'm gonna be. But nevertheless, I think each of us, and we can look historically as a nation, we have not done a good job with this. You guys know I'm a very staunch advocate for the First Amendment. I think every person should have the freedom to express their political views, to redress their government, to say things no matter how mainstream or outlandish they may be. I think everybody should have the right to do that and the freedom to do that without suffering deathly consequences. I don't think that's too much to ask. We can disagree and part peacefully, right? We don't necessarily have to be peaceful about it, but we can at least depart safely. But those are my feelings. And I could give you several examples. And, you know, if you look back over the, you know, really, I guess, the history of time, it's not something that's unique to America by any stretch of the imagination. But, sometimes you get some loud voices out there and they begin to make some points and build a following and things of that nature. And there are some people that have thought they should be eliminated, you know. And that's even some of our political leaders and some of the activists of our day. It's like when people can't beat you in the debate, well, they got to take other measures. You know, I think that is the act of cowardice. When you cannot match wits with somebody, You just got to accept the defeat. Maybe could do a little more research. But it's not a great day in America. It's not. And a lot of people are very angry, and there are other calls for violence and things like that. That gets nothing accomplished. I will tell you this, and this may be a bit of a tell on my part. Sometimes violence is the answer. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, when people attack our homeland, right, or our people are, attacked or assaulted, you know, I firmly believe that. I think sometimes you have to have a deterrent to keep people from completely going into utter chaos. But not situations like this. I mean, come on. I mean, just to give you guys an example of kind of what the whole world. My mom texts me today and says, "Be careful when you get up and speak. Charlie Kirk was shot and killed at a university event. It made me think of you. I hate this for his family." Mom. She goes, "Nobody is safe anymore." Those are the things that I think about, right? That the first thing my mom thought about was me, a sports guy. Granted, I've had some controversial opinions, and I've done some things that people don't like. But at no point have I ever felt like my life was in jeopardy. And maybe I misjudged it. You know, it's just, it's insanity to me, obviously. There's a lot of people out there that have a much bigger platform than me and say a lot more outlandish things. And I think there are some people that kind of relish in the outrage of others. There's some truth in that. But I don't let people get under my skin. Another thing that I would say before we kind of get into the show, I have seen a lot of social media traffic, even from some within our own Mississippi State family, that is very disappointing. That's my opinion. I think it's disappointing. And there's one guy in particular, I'm not going to give him the notoriety of being mentioned on my show, but he's a guy that has kind of been very critical of me. And I used to always wonder, I felt I'm almost guilty. I'm not a people pleaser, but I thought, what did I ever do to this guy? What did I ever do to make this guy hate me so much? And then I had some people share some of his tweets with me today, and I don't feel guilty anymore. He's just a bad person. He is. Now, he's capable of change, and my hope is that perhaps some of the backlash he's received today will lead to change. I think everybody can be redeemed and be restored. I think there are some negative things that we all do and say at some point in the emotional moment. But the thing that I would offer to you, it has been my experience that how we react when we are at the height of our emotions, more times than not, is reflective of our true character than what we say when we have had time to think it through and be rather measured. Because more times than not, we're going to put things out there when we've had a chance to think about the consequences of our comments. We are a little more measured in that respect. But again, my initial feeling is what you put out there first is really who you are, right? It's just like when you have that big argument, right? When you think about your former significant others, like you had to get angry to say what you really feel. When you're just trying to keep the peace, what do? You kind of bite your tongue. And you say, well, you know, I really want to go through all this drama, so let me just say what I need to say to keep the peace. But when we're both elevated emotionally, I may say a few things that I regret, but chances are I don't say much that I don't mean. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. They nourish us, right? But they also give us a lot to enjoy. It's not as simple as just getting nourished. I don't just eat for nourishment. I eat for enjoyment. I could eat a lot of things just to sustain life, but I want to enjoy life, and that's what I do. When I really want to enjoy life and enjoy a great meal, I choose Bulldog Burger Company. I suspect if you got a family, you got kids, I suspect if you polled the family and say, hey, where would you guys like to eat? I guarantee you Bulldog Burger Company is going to be one of the nominees, if not the elector, right? That's how I feel, especially if you got kids. I want to go to Bulldog Burger Company because I want to get those spring rolls so I can grow up and be beautiful. I want to get that Nutella shake to go so I can ride that ride home with a smile, and I want that great Bulldog Burger experience. You owe it to yourself to get out and enjoy some Bulldog Burger. So if you're in town or on the way to town, think Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. You know what? Get those spring rolls, make you and everybody around you better looking, and find your own favorites. But again, if you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, let's go with the Bulldog. You can't go wrong. You can never go wrong with the Bulldog. It is a great straight-ahead rock and roll American hamburger, right? Get it, and you can get it dressed how you want. You can. But you know what? If you want to branch out on the wild side a little bit, let me throw out there the Pimentology add bacon. And I love that Pimentology. I don't even like pimento and cheese sandwiches, but I love the pimento spread they use at Bulldog Burger Company. So maybe if you've been to some of those dinner on the grounds and mom made you eat a pimento and cheese sandwich just to be nice, don't eliminate the Pimentology from your options, because you're listening to a guy that does not like pimento and cheese sandwiches. I do not like them. I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them, but I love the Pimentology. I always get a little bacon because it puts some hair on your chest. It does. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, let's take a look at Alcorn State. And we're going to show respect to our opponents. We're going to treat every game. We're going to be like Jeff Lebby and the Bulldogs. Each week, we're going to be exactly the same. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to treat this game like every other one. And maybe it's a scenario where, I'm an addict, you know, so we kind of do things out of habit. But the reality of it is I think, you know, hey, we have been in some situations before. We just kind of wandered into games and end up being in a dogfight. I don't think that's going to be the case, but we're not going to tempt fate. I don't know how you guys see it, but I expect a big win this weekend, and we need it. I think that's one of the things, too, that made last week so great is, like, it's almost a perfect scenario, right? So even if Lebby and the staff has to go pull the kids out of the clouds, even if you don't play your absolute best this weekend, you're still going to be able to get out of this 3-0, and hopefully you get out of it healthy, and we'll be 3-0 for the first time since 2018. Shared that good news with Zach Selman earlier this week. I was like, hey, you know, I don't know if you know this, but be 3-0 for the first time since 18, seven seasons. A win next week, you're 4-0. Been a while too, right? So I share that with you because I think you know, again, we're going to be consistent in what we do, but also, too, I think, you know, let's just do what we do. You know, just so many other things in life we could talk about, but let's focus on the Alcorn State Braves. Third meeting all time between the two schools. Bulldogs combined score in the two games, 100-23. Beat them in 2010, beat them in 2013. Both of those occurred during the Dan Mullen era. So it's been a dozen years since the Braves have been here. Cedric Thomas, a product of Eastside High School in Cleveland, is the head coach at Alcorn State. He's a guy that's a product of Mississippi Delta Community College, played at Arkansas Pine Bluff, actually got his college career started as a GA at Alcorn. Moved around a little bit, came back as an assistant coach, got to be the coach at Arkansas Pine Bluff, and then now he's the head coach here. So three stints there in Lorman. And good first year for him. They finished second in the SWAC Western Division. Overall, 6-6, but 5-3 in the SWAC. And finished just two games behind Southern, who had a great year last year. The Jags, right? But we'll go back and look. Last year, they opened the year, Alcorn did, at UAB, 41-3. And then they get beat 55-0 by Vanderbilt. And Coach Thomas, to his credit, said he told his team, because they just didn't feel like they had a roster worthy of competition last year against FBS teams. They said, we're just going to snap the ball 1 second on the clock. We're going to try to shorten the game as best we can, reduce the number of snaps, reduce the possibility of injury. They just simply needed a paycheck. And so they get beat by a combined 96-3 in those first two ball games. And again, this is a team that went 6-6. So right out of the gate, you're 0-2 against the FBS. And then the rest of the way, you actually did pretty well, especially for a first-year coach kind of rebuilding a program. And Alcorn has a ton of pride, right? They truly do. A lot of people talk about Jackson State, and obviously they made a good run with Deion. But like when I was a kid growing up in South Mississippi, the Soul Bowl, I don't know if we still call it the Soul Bowl, but the Soul Bowl was a big deal, a big, big deal at my high school. It was as big a deal among my classmates as the Egg Bowl. It was huge. And you know what? We kind of picked sides too. Yeah, you had friends and teammates, and it's like, hey, who can I count on you to support us this week? Now, I wasn't walking around wearing a Jackson State and Alcorn shirt, but I mean, you know what it is. When you're a competitor, I mean, it's like, well, hey, if we're picking a side, let me jump on board here. And Columbia High School has had a ton of players over the life of my lifetime that have played at Alcorn and Jackson State and then gone on to the National Football League. So it's not like that those leagues were devoid of talent. Obviously, segregation was a part of that, and a lot of the better athletes in Mississippi went to our historically black colleges and universities. And so it was a big deal then, and I know to those fan bases it's a big deal now. My former teammate and classmate and friend, Baron Irvin, hit me up last week, you know, about the Southern Miss game. He goes, hey, I think maybe we can play with those guys. I said, well, you know, I'll do, I think maybe a little bit, but, you know, I mean, there's a difference in the talent level at this point. But they were able to play with them a little bit. They were. But nevertheless, last year, of course, they start out at 0-2, and then they go to McNeese State. It's not a conference game, and they get shelled pretty good. I skipped a game. They beat Edward Waters of Florida 38-7. In Lorman. So the first win of the Cedric Thomas era. Then they go to McNeese and they lose. So you're 1-3, kind of right out of the gate here. You're 1-3 with your non-conference games. And you always think to yourself, okay, once we get in our league, maybe we'll be okay. But there really wasn't, you know, a lot of positive momentum going in there. What do they do on the road, week one in SWAC play? They take care of Mississippi Valley, 42-21, double them up. So you want to know in the SWAC, homecoming brings Arkansas Pine Bluff to town, and you get them by 10, 38-28. So all of a sudden, the former 1-3 Alcorn State Braves are 2-0 in the SWAC. You know the fans of that program had to be jacked. They went to Grambling and lost a tough one there. And that was a big deal, and kind of in hindsight, as you begin to kind of shake these standings loose. They win 17-15, and then they go to Southern. And Southern, of course, wins it by two games. If you win that, you know, maybe things are a little bit different, right? But again, you start 3-0 in the SWAC. You knock off Valley, Pine Bluff, and then Grambling. 17-15 at Grambling. Road wins hard to come by at any level. So you're 3-0 headed to Baton Rouge to play Southern, who ultimately wins the division. And in many respects, this game decided the division. And the Jaguars get them 24-14. Kind of reeling after that, they go to Mobile. They lose to Alabama State. But they rallied down the stretch. They get Texas Southern 42-21. They get Prairie View 26-13. And then they get blown out at home against Jackson State, the rivalry game, 48-10. But that ends the year. And so, again, you look at these games, and like in their league, incredibly competitive with the exception of the Jackson State game. Completely different. But every other game, even the games they lost, they're right there and they're in them. In the game. Now, am I suggesting they're going to be in the game with us? I'm not saying that. But I think this Alcorn State program may be trending in the right direction. Now, this year has gotten off to a similar start as last year. And that's to be expected, right? You got to go play your paycheck games first. But this is the only like big check, right? So they're at Northwestern State to open the season, another FCS team. It's a 20-10 game. It's competitive. Then they go to Alabama A&M, and even though they are a SWAC team, this was not a SWAC game. They scheduled as a non-conference game because they weren't paired up by the league. Ends up being a very entertaining game, and Alabama A&M ultimately wins 41-31. So, again, you look at this, back-to-back games, both lost by 10 points, but it just kind of shows against their contemporaries, Alcorn's going to be able to play. They get down 13-0 in a game against Northwestern State, and from there on, it was pretty much a stalemate. Alcorn State actually wins the final three quarters 10-7, but of course, the score is tabulated by all four quarters. But again, very competitive game, and it took Northwestern State, the Demons, a fourth quarter touchdown to put that game away. It was 13-10 Northwestern State in the fourth. So Alcorn, a play away from getting a dub on the road to open a season. And again, I think it speaks to the culture and kind of what's happened.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Alcorn, and I want all of our in-state schools to do well with one exception. I really do. I want all of our young men and women around the state of Mississippi that get a chance to play college athletics at a Mississippi-funded institution, I want them all to have a great experience, whether it's here or somewhere else, again, with one exception. But, man, what a wild first quarter. 21-14, and then next thing you know, we just trade scores the rest of the ways. But ultimately, that game was kind of decided there in the first quarter. Wild game. So that they'll be here, and then they get in a SWAC play. So let's take a little bit of a closer look here and just kind of see who's doing what. We kind of touched on some of this stuff earlier in the week, but Ja'Cory and Sewell is a guy that they are really high on. They think he has the opportunity to make a pro roster somewhere. Now, through two games, he's got 176 yards, averaging about 88. And granted, those are road games, but they were against FCS teams. So this will be an opportunity for him to kind of show what he's got a little bit against an SEC team. I just don't know that offensive line's going to hold up, but we do expect him to have a really good year in the SWAC, possibility being an all-first-team SWAC selection this year. Reggie Davis is the guy that transferred in there. They like him, too. He's got 116. And Coach Thomas said earlier this week that they needed to go get another back to kind of take a little bit of wear and tear off Ja'Cory and Sewell. And, so we'll see how that plays out. But, Sewell's, a bigger guy. But, again, I don't know if their offensive line is going to be able to hold up. So I don't know if this will be a great representation of kind of who he is, what he's about. But that's just kind of a name to kind of think about as the year goes along. Jalen Tolbert, transferred in from Howard, and he has been the guy that has earned the job. You know, back after the spring, they still weren't quite sure what they want to do in quarterback, so the competition made its way into fall camp, and Jalen Tolbert wins the job. And 42 of 77 with a couple of picks and one touchdown, averaging 175 yards a game. I just don't think it's going to work out well this week either. But, you know, they got to find a way, you know, when they get in their league to kind of make some things work. And so, this is a paycheck game for them. Tyron Warren is the leading receiver. And when it comes to number of catches, he's got six for 76 yards. Jarvis Rush, a product of Louisville High School. I think that's right. I'm almost positive it's Louisville High School, yeah. Transferred down from Akron. But, you know, he's a big, long, physical guy. And a guy that's going to have a lot of family at the ballgame. Tyler Macon used to be a quarterback. They move him to receiver in the spring. He's kind of dropped some weight. They think his future is at wide receiver. To try to get some more, you know, get the ball out of some playmakers. Amarion Blakes is a guy that we recruited a couple years ago. Elected not to pull the trigger on him. And I loved his game. I thought he came to Big Dog Camp, and he was a little bit slower than I expect him to be. Since they've gone out and gotten some bigger wide receivers, they've moved Blakes inside to the slot. I think that's where he needs to be. He actually has eight catches this year, but just for 27 yards. Long of nine. They've only had one receiver catch a touchdown pass this year, and that's Jarvis Rush. And Sewell's a guy, too. You know, that's one of the things they mentioned. He's got to do a better job catching the ball in the backfield. He's got three catches so far. Defensively, here's a name you know I hear, right? Tobias Hinton, former Mississippi State player, went down there and is second on the team in tackles with 13. Eight solo tackles, 13 totals. Well, I guess he's third. Can't even read my stuff here. But Stamarion Edwards, I don't know if you guys remember him. He's a guy, too, that State kind of took a look at a little bit when he was coming out of Hines Community College. A lot of people were kind of pushing him on us. From Hollandale, Mississippi. But he currently is the leading tackler. 6 foot, 220-pound backer. That maybe doesn't have the length that that you'd expect for an SEC player. But he is a guy, obviously, that knows a little bit about Mississippi State. 20 tackles on the year, has 1.5 for loss. But it's also interesting to me, so many of these names that we got to know a little bit, you know, when they were coming up out of high school. But as a team, they have just 3 sacks. So not a ton of pass rush with them. I take that back. That's what they've allowed. They've allowed 3 sacks. They have not recorded a sack. I need to get my act together. They have recorded 9 tackles for loss. They've allowed 13. The thing that I always think about with these FCS games, the special teams play, right? Because if you had a kicker that could consistently get you a touchback, he wouldn't be in the FCS unless he just wanted to be. They have not been able to do that. They got 4 touchbacks on the year. And those have been fair caught. Averaging 60.2 yards per kick for kickoffs. So perhaps some plays could be made in the kicking game. We thought that last week, but both kickers did a really good job. But Grandon Wilcox is the kicker there. He's actually done pretty well from long distance. He's 2 of 3. He's made one from 40 to 49. He also made a 51-yarder. So don't be surprised to see them kind of dial one up. He transferred in from Norfolk State. He is a product of Ocala, Florida. 5'11", 225. And he handles the kickoffs and the field goal, the place kicking. Punting has been split a little bit, but Demetrion Duvall has kind of won that game. And averaging right at 44 yards a punt, long of 49. So when they've had to kind of flip the field, they've been able to do it. And so 8 punts and 1 touchback, 3 fair catches, and 1 inside the 20. But pretty consistent numbers there from him. Franklin Rogers has punted once for 29 yards. I don't know all the details behind that. But this Duvall kid, you look at this and say, you know what, hey, that's pretty good numbers there. Akron, Ohio, out of Buckdale High School, 5'11", 185-pound sophomore. If he keeps this kind of stuff up, maybe he'll get in the portal next year and somebody else will take him. Yeah, it's awfully interesting type stuff. But not a lot of points scored, obviously. But the leading scorer at this point is Reggie Davis, who's got a couple rushing touchdowns. And then Wilcox is right there with 11 points right behind him with extra points and field goals. A couple field goals and five extra points. So he's attempted 8 kicks this year. He's made 7 of the 8, including his 5 extra points. And so that's maybe something that they can kind of build on moving forward, you know, when they get in tighter games. I don't expect this one to be a tight game at all, neither do you. And that's okay, but we're going to show Alcorn State respect. And I'm appreciative that we get a chance to play these games. And I thought Coach Sad said something this week that makes a lot of sense to me. He goes, I'm glad we're keeping the revenue in the state. And you know what? I am too. I mean, if we got to go play an FCS game, right? An FCS game at any level is not going to help you when it comes to the FBS playoff rankings, right? Everybody's going to play an FCS team. And so it's not going to have any impact, pro or con. And so my feeling is, much like Coach said, is if we got to go play an FCS game anyway, then let's play one with an in-state school. Let's keep that money in-state. Because we're not recruiting the same players. We got nothing to lose by playing Alcorn State. And if you saw last week, like Southern Miss and Jackson State band got together and it was like part of the halftime celebration, it makes good sense to me. And we are a state, obviously, that needs to prioritize higher education. And so rather than go write a check to Gardner-Webb or to Northwestern State or to Southeastern Louisiana, you know, why don't we just play these guys, play Alcorn, play Jackson State, maybe even play Valley. I mean, God knows they could use the money. And I understand some of these teams kind of begin to ask themselves too, you know, hey, is it worth it? I can't remember who it was. Fresno State played. It was a North Carolina A&T, I think. And like 2 quarterbacks got hurt in the game. And so you begin to say, hey, well, we got to go in our league and we're all beat up. We got a nice paycheck, but we've kind of been crippled this season because of these injuries. So that's a trade-off, right? You're getting paid and you get beat up. But just every so often, somebody pulls off a major upset. But I'm a firm proponent, and Scott Strickland did a good job with that, kind of bringing some historic games. And I go back and I think about 2010, that Alcorn State played here. And we had an offensive lineman that we signed out of Madison Ridgeland Academy. His brother played for Alcorn. And his brother went back and told him how nice everything was. And, of course, he was in the stands watching that day. We're talking Justin Malone. But about how well he was treated, what a good experience it was. And so those are kind of the things you think about, right? And not to mention, it's like I just think if we have to write that check, why not do it for the betterment of Mississippi? My feelings. But, yeah, I expect State to be able to name their score, and I think this is a scenario we'll empty the bitch. I think ideally what we'd like to do is play Blake and the guys for a half and then give Cromanhawk a quarter and Camario a quarter. And I've had some people asking me, do you think Camario will start this week? No, we're not doing that. And well, I worry about Blake getting hurt. Well, I worry about Blake getting hurt too. Worry about everybody getting hurt. But you can't go into a game with that in mind, right? And we got some guys that are a little bit banged up that we are certain that won't play this week, nor should they play this week. And the Northern Illinois game is going to be more difficult. And, you know, we'll talk about them a lot next week. But our goal this week, get through, win the game. Win the game convincingly. Get out of there healthy. Get a lot of playing time. Let some guys put some things on tape that they can learn. But also, too, it kind of, you know, lessens the wear and tear on some regulars as we're, you know, a couple weeks away from the opening of SEC play. And remind you, too, again, if you didn't come last week and you saw it on television, you saw how great the stadium was and the atmosphere was. And listen, it won't be the same this week because we're not playing a top 10 team. Like, I mean, again, like last week, the city was restless, man. It was, but you could just tell when you walked in there, our fans were so ready for that game. I expect a different atmosphere in that respect. But if you haven't been here to see all the great things they've done to kind of change the game day experience, you need to come. You saw it on TV last week. You shouldn't have any trouble getting tickets this week. And you know it's a game State's going to win. So why not load the car, bring the kids, and come up here and enjoy a night in Starkville. Kickoff's at 5 o'clock. If you stay at home, it's going to be on ESPN+, and some of you don't even subscribe to that. So rather than spend the money on that, why don't you come up here? And it's a 5 o'clock game, so you can get home at a decent hour and still make it to church if you're so inclined on Sunday. So encourage you to get out and come because it is so cool, man. It is so great. And it's only going to get better, right? When you think about, we've never had these amenities before. Now we have them. And it makes you proud, man. It makes you proud, at least for me. When we did Don't Stop Believing and they had, you know, the state script kind of whirling around out there on the turf and everybody singing along, man. I was like, man, number one, I've missed this. I've missed this tremendously. I've missed us getting to the fourth quarter and played meaningful football against a Power 5 opponent and still having pretty much a packed house. And then on top of that, we got all these new amenities we've never seen before. And as I wrote the other day, the Don't Stop Believing showed up like an old friend on a hot day in the summer to help you clean out the garage. It was unexpected. And at the time, it was timely, right? I mean, they're about to score. And we get to Don't Stop Believing. It just felt, it all felt right in the world, man. It did. But you owe it to yourself to be here. We want you to be here. We do. And matter of fact, we'll go do all of our shopping tomorrow. So we won't be in your way when you go to the grocery stores around the greater Starkville area on Friday. We'll get all of it done. We'll get all of our shopping done tomorrow. And you guys can kind of have the run of the place and get all jacked and excited. Matter of fact, I'll just go out and eat tonight. And then you guys can, you won't have to wait on a table because of me. I'll give you that opportunity, right? We'll just stay out of your way. We want you to come here and have a good time. We love you guys coming to town, and we look forward to all of you that will be in town this weekend as we take on Alcorn State. All right, time for the close with Blair, player of the day. Blair Chandler, your friend, my friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry, he knows how to get things done. And you need that in life. You need somebody that knows maybe more than you do about certain industries. Buying a house can be a complicated procedure. Blair's got 24 years of experience when it comes to mortgage loan origination. Save him in your phone as mortgage guy. His name is Blair Chandler. You can save it any way you want, but I like to kind of just, put in the notes, mortgage guy. Because you never know when you're going to need mortgage guy or gal, but Blair's the guy. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Save it in your phone. You'd be glad you did. Get his 24 years of experience and expertise advocating for you. Many of you have had the dream of home ownership elude you, and maybe it's because you had the wrong loan originator. Maybe you weren't quite ready. Blair can help you with that too. Blair can get you that pre-qualification letter too, which really gets your real estate agent motivated because they know exactly the price range they're working with and your financing's already in place. Some good steps to take, right, as you prepare for a move, or buying your first home. So what are you looking for, your first home, your next home, or your retirement home? Blair Chandler is the only name to know at closetoblair.com. Okay, going to throw you guys a bit of a curveball today. Our player of the day is going to be Luke Cromanhawk. Transfer in from Florida State. He played a little bit against Southern Miss. We do expect to substitute rather liberally this weekend. And my hope is that at halftime, that our starters are done, and I hope that Luke gets a quarter and Camario gets a quarter. We need to get those guys some experience, get those guys some things on tape. That's just how it should work. Both of these guys are going to be competing for the starting job next year, so you got to get them some experience now. Luke got a little bit last year, kind of thrown to the fire at Florida State, burned his redshirt year. You're not planning to redshirt these guys. You're planning to win. But considering the fact that we've had a quarterback at times been a little bit banged up, it's good to get these guys some real game experience. So Luke Kroemenhoek, I expect him to have the third quarter and then Camario the fourth. At least I hope the game allows that. I suspect that it will. But it's extremely important for us to get some live reps for each of them. And again, I hope every Bulldog on the roster gets a chance to see the field this week. That's my hope. That's my expectation. I know you guys likely feel the same way. So Luke Kroemenhoek, with a shout out to Camario Taylor, your close with Blair Players of the Day. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by Kalito Guitars. Friday is delivery day for the new Steve Vai original. I am absolutely jacked about that. Cannot wait. Been popping my fingers all day. Just thinking about it, man. Doing it right now. Just thinking about what it's going to be like to hold that beautiful instrument in my hands for the very first time. Really jacked. You need to be jacked too. You need to have something in life to be excited about, whether you're a new player, a seasoned player, or maybe a returning player. Maybe you hadn't played in a while. You owe it to yourself to have a quality instrument. So visit KalitoGuitars.com. Their level of service and expertise, unsurpassed. And how many times do you order something online and then something's not exactly right and you can't get anybody on the phone? Well, you can call them directly. Yeah, you can. Or you can stop by the showroom. You know, Lake Jackson, Texas, just south of Houston. You have an opportunity to go by and see them. You know, they care. Like this guitar that I'm getting on Friday, it worked out really well. They were going to be in the area kind of doing some other business. And so they're going to set it up for me too. They're going to have it all set up for me, ready to play. I'm jacked, man. I'm jacked. So visit Kalito Guitars and you can see they've got guitars for brand new beginning players. And they've got professional grade guitars too. I mean, you can go up into the thousands or down into the hundreds, whatever you want to do. They've also provided you a little incentive to do business with them. You should anyway, because number one, they're a great music store. But in addition to that, it's owned and operated by Mississippi State people. We want to keep business in the family whenever we can. But promo code BSR. You can use that in person. You can use it on a phone order, or you can use it on an online order. BSR, that gets you a 10% discount. That gets you no shipping. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in the great state of Texas. And it also gets a donation, 5% of your purchase price donated directly to Bulldog Excellence Fund. So be sure and check it out. You'll be glad you did. I am so incredibly excited about this because, as I've said many times, if I had a better guitar, I'd probably practice more. I have never in my life had a brand new out-of-the-box guitar. It's always been something secondhand or third-hand. I bought them from friends or bought them from pawn shops and things like that. And a lot of times, they're a little bit beat up, you know. And so you play the best you can, but, you know, I've had some that have had kind of a warped neck or had a bad pickup, and then all of a sudden it becomes, you know, quite the investment to kind of get it up to running speed. This is a little different scenario, and I'm so incredibly excited. You owe it to yourself to go do a little window shopping yourself. We all need a little incentive in life. It's like, hey, you know what, I think I may pick up that extra shift. Or I might just say, you know, start saving a little bit and upgrade all my equipment. And again, it's so great to be able to do business with Mississippi State people. So I encourage you to do that at KalitoGuitars.com. Okay. In light of recent events, I thought maybe let's do a top 10 list about freedom. I am a firm believer in freedom. I'm not going to opine too much about all this stuff, but the reality of it is that we live in a great country that has a lot of problems. It does. And to deny that is to be short-sighted. But I'm a firm believer in that we should know our rights and exercise our rights and that everybody should be protected to express those rights. We should never have such disagreements and discourse that we resort to violence over competing ideas. If that makes sense. Nobody should ever be the victim of violence over a difference of opinion. Just because we see the world a little bit differently, doesn't mean it were right. It's true. And some people are maybe too egotistical to admit that. But the reality of it is that each of us have some rights that are inalienable and granted to us by the Bill of Rights, the United States Constitution, and we deserve to be able to express those things. And reality of it is we have a lot more freedom here than they do in other countries. but we're kind of self-policing ourselves in a very negative way. So number 10, it's The Clash's Know Your Rights. And it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek song too, but it's important to kind of understand that, you know, part of the deal. Number 9, Eric Clapton teamed up with Van Morrison, Stand and Deliver. Good track. It's a more recent, you know, track that a little bit later in Eric's catalog. You may not be quite as familiar with it, but, you know, Van did a good job. Number 8, probably a song you don't know quite as well, because a lot of people just kind of bought the Jimi Hendrix Greatest Hits album, and that's like all they know. Great track called Freedom from Jimmy. And the guitar work, always stellar. Number 7, a song that was very much a protest song back during the heyday of Bob Dylan. It's I Shall Be Free. And it's a lot about personal freedoms and things of that nature. And it's one I think you'll have a little fun with. Number 6 is Bob Marley's Redemption song. I don't know if you know that one quite as well. When you put it on, you can be like, you know what? The vibe is infectious. It is. And a lot of that Bob Marley stuff is like that. And if you haven't watched the Bob Marley movie, I would encourage you to do so. I've watched all the documentaries. He was very much a freedom fighter. He used his platform to try to bring change in the right way. And, of course, he was also a guy that was shot. You know, it's just, we make a lot of bad decisions, man. Number 5, it's Thin Lizzy. Another song you may not know as well, but I have absolutely loved this song much of my life. And it's Freedom Song from Thin Lizzy. Talks about liberty, talks about America. And, you know, it's so interesting how life works, you know. Number 4, it's Queen. And anytime that we can get the great Freddie Mercury represented on the show, we want to. It's I Want to Break Free. That video was a problem. It's one of the first videos ever banned from MTV. And Freddie was not in favor of the video, just so you know. Like, there was some chatter about, well, we'll do that, but the record company pushed that out there. There was a lot of backlash about it, and but I Want to Break Free, it's just like breaking free of social convention, right? Being your unique self, the genuine article. Number 3, and Neil Young is a guy that has never been shy about sharing his political views, whether you agree with them or not. I still respect his ability to have them and to express them in the way that he chooses, and I also respect his musical prowess. One of the greatest collaborations, I think, of my lifetime on the MTV Video Music Awards years ago was Pearl Jam and Neil Young singing Rockin' in a Free World. It's a very powerful song. If you've never gone back and listened to it. But it's like that whole line about that's another kid that'll never go to school, never get to be cool. I mean, that stuff speaks to me. Number 2, and again, their politics don't always align with mine, but I can tell you, I'm very proud. Was it the 92 presidential elections, Rage Against the Machine played concerts, open, free concerts of protest across the street from both the Democratic and Republican conventions because they wanted our generation's voice to be heard. Zach De La Roca is the guy that's always been very much an activist and may not always support the same causes that I do, but I respect his passion. And we're going back to the beginning. We're going with Freedom from Rage Against the Machine. But number 1, and it's so interesting, I thought about this song today with all of the things that were going on as the news coverage and all the social media traffic about you know, the assassination of Charlie Kirk at Utah Valley State. And it was a song that meant a lot to me when it first came out. It's off of the album Big Game from White Lion. And it's a song you may not know as well. They made a video for it, but it's called Cry for Freedom. Stand up and cry for freedom. And we want all people to be free. And that should be the case. Not always the case. You know, that's the thing. I think the social media world has made the world a smaller place. We're able to kind of see injustice around the world where maybe perhaps before we were blind to it. But I'm that kind of person. I believe in accountability, you know, and it's one of the things that I've always kind of prided myself on, you know, looking back at my own problems you know, when I was younger, when I was a drug addict and I was involved in some illegal activity and a lot more than people knew about, but I had to go pay the piper. And I just took my lick, right? I knew that I was wrong. And I pled guilty, got a decent deal, great deal when it was all said and done. And I put it behind me. You know, there's some other people out there that are, you know, they'll sell you out. They'll turn state's evidence against you. And I was offered that opportunity and passed on it. I just took my lick. And I'm a firm believer in accountability. When people do things that they shouldn't, when people break the law, willfully break the law, they need to be held accountable. And there needs to be some equity in that. There needs to be some equality in that. Everybody that I believe everybody should get credit for everything they've done, good or bad. But there are other people out there that aren't treated the same around the world. And I think that's an important aspect of this. Sometimes we get so incredibly caught up in what we're dealing with, we don't realize there are other things out there. Now, listen, I can't make the whole world's problems mine. It's what I can do, to run my business and get out here and speak into a microphone, that sort of stuff, and support the bride and her endeavors. But, I got my own problems I got to deal with. It doesn't mean that I'm oblivious, that there are other people out there living at a standard beneath many of us. And there's a lot of people out there that they're dealing with a lot of pain. And that's one of the things, too, that I write a lot about addiction and things about that. And really it's about to remind me from whence I've come, but also, too, to help others. And I think that's the spirit. We talk about living a life of gratitude. I kind of thought about that today before all this chaos hit. I thought about I'm just so grateful. I'm just so incredibly grateful to be able to do what I do and live the life that I lead. And, as I mentioned on Monday, on Sunday morning we woke up and I cannot remember a time that we all felt so good after a football game, right? I mean, because even last year, right? Even when we played well, it's tough to get excited when you know you're going to lose. You know, and it becomes one of those things you endure rather than enjoy. But that's why I think Saturday night was so great. There was all this pent-up frustration, and then there's unbridled joy. And some people have been critical for us about how much we celebrate. And you know what? I don't need any lectures from any opposing fan bases. We have endured a lot in the last 4 years. We lost our way, right, in football. And some of it's not our fault. But it's taken us a long time to kind of pick up the pieces. And so if we beat a top 10 team at home to kind of validate the fact that we're back on track and we decide to rush the field, it's nobody's business but ours. And, of course, people are like, oh, you know, we spent all this money to do that. You know, at the end of the day, you know, the amount of press and marketing and recruiting juice that we have right now, it's probably a pretty good trade. You know, and the atmosphere was incredible, as you guys are well aware. If we'd kind of touch on that earlier, but it's like if we don't win, like all that stuff is neat and cool, but not much changes. It just kind of puts us in a different light. We can lose in the same lights that we've always had. But anybody that went to that game and didn't think it was a lot cooler, it's just kind of kidding themselves. I mean, listen, there's some people that say, well, I expected more. Well, there may be more. You know, we're going to be adding some more amenities to that aspect of it. And we're still learning. But I thought it was incredible. And it's only going to get better, right? Everything gets better with repetition. And as great as it was, you think about that, as great as it was, that's probably as bad as it'll ever be. And I hate to even use the term bad because it wasn't bad. But we're relatively inexperienced with these new toys. And so it's only going to get better. As great as it was, it will only get better. So again, let's get some tickets and get to the ball game this weekend. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. And why? Because they have the things that we want. That's true. It's great. Super jacked about going in there. I was in there last weekend, of course. Book signing. A lot of good things happening there. A lot of people walking out with a lot of cool stuff. I love it when we have a chance to go upgrade our Mississippi State game day wardrobe. You can take care of those needs. When you come to town, go by and see Campus Bookmart. I got like 3 or 4 hugs from Susie. I finally had to say, Susie, that's enough, okay? No, seriously, love her to death. But you need to go by and see her smiling faces and kind of peruse the selections of everything that's available while you're there. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a tough shopping day for you, visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right. The Southeastern Conference released the SEC conference-only baseball schedules yesterday. Very happy to have that. You know, we've got a few other pieces in place. Of course, you know we're going to play UCLA and Virginia Tech and Arizona State at the Globe Life event. Excited about that. And be making plans for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And rumor has it we're going to play a home-and-home with Southern Miss. We'll have the governor's game, of course. And we have not released a full schedule. I'm told that we still have a couple contracts we're working through. But once we get those finalized, we will release the full schedule. Some other leagues, teams around the league have already done that. But real quickly, let's take a look at kind of the hand we're dealt. Last year's schedule we felt like was very advantageous. You know, I did my own little scoring, you know, kind of assigned a power ranking for each team and then went through and calculated it up. Mississippi State, by my estimation, had the easiest SEC schedule in the league last year. And I think that was part of the issue, right? When you have a schedule like that, you got to take full advantage. We didn't. And we made a change. But looking ahead here, Brian O'Connor not getting an easy schedule, and that's okay. It's like somebody said on the board today, and I absolutely loved it. You know, people are like, "Oh, you know, we got to play all these tough teams. They got to play us too. Or they got to play us." And this guy made a comment. I loved it. He said, "I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me." And that's kind of the way I see it too. I think Mississippi State has a good chance to have a great year next year. We don't have to lower the hurdles. We got a great lineup. Got to grow up a little bit on the pitching mound. But, yeah, we got a chance to be a really good team next year. And the metrics really favor us. Like if we go out there and put together, you know, 17, 18 SEC wins, we got a chance to be a top eight national seed because the strength of schedule is going to be favorable for Mississippi State in that aspect of it. So that's the thing you think about. We're going to play a very high RPS, SOS-type schedule. Things are going to be fine. We open up SEC play on the road at Arkansas. You know, we didn't play the Razorbacks last year. Arkansas played for a national title last year, as you guys know. They lost a ton from that team, but Dave Van Horn always finds a way to reload. I got a tremendous amount of respect for Dave Van Horn and that staff up there. I look forward to going. I do. And again, you begin to think about last time we went up there, we should have won the series. We got a game. We could have actually swept the series. We blew late leads on both Friday and Sunday. I'm not scared of Arkansas. I respect Arkansas. And the way that I look at it, too, if we're going to go compete for an SEC championship or top eight national seed, these are the kind of series we got to go win. Simple as that. All right, your first home series after a one-year hiatus, Vanderbilt's back on the schedule. We didn't play them last year either. Five teams rotate off, five teams rotate on. So Vanderbilt, last time we played them was in Nashville. That was the Hunter Hines series when Hunter hit that bomb in the ninth to give us the lead. And we won that series 2-1. Vanderbilt's always going to be good, but they're not going to be great. And I keep going back to this. I had this discussion with some of my college baseball friends, and I think I was the first one to kind of raise the flag on this, you know, because I think some other people, it kind of slipped by them, right? I'm trying to pull it up here just because it's important to me. But, you know, Vanderbilt, for a while, you know, it was great, and they're still very, very good. They're just not the same anymore. And a lot of it, I think, NIL has kind of leveled the playing field a little bit. And again, I go back to this. Yeah, Tim Corbin was against NIL for baseball, which made me think it might be good for us. I don't know that it's been great for us in football. I think it's been great for us in baseball. But NIL was legalized in 2021. Maybe you remember that. Vanderbilt has not won an NCAA regional since NIL was enacted. And so a lot of the advantages they had through their endowment have kind of been erased. So again, last year they went 38-21. You know, hey, that's great. Year before they won the SEC tournament, and everybody's got different motivations in Hoover. But again, they have not won an NCAA regional. I guess it's since 21. Yeah, 21. It became legal that year. You know, we beat them for a NAFL championship. But every season since then, they hadn't made a regional. They hadn't won a regional. So I think that's an important aspect to kind of, as you consider what Vanderbilt was and kind of what they've been. Tim Corbin's still a great coach. Don't get me wrong. But things are a little different than they once were. When you don't have the pitching to get out of a regional, things matter. They do. And just trying to look and see who won that regional last year. I mean, I'm pulling it up right now kind of on the fly. Yeah, Wright State won the Vanderbilt regional last year. Wright State. And good for them, right? But, yeah, so we get Vanderbilt. So I'm thinking, you know what, hey, we get a game, possibly two, at Arkansas. You got a chance to win this series at home and be in a good spot because you remember what a tough spot we got off to last year. After the Vanderbilt series, we're going to be on the road at Oxford. You know, we have had some success against them. The last time we went down there, they snapped their streak against us. They've won a series against us for the first time since 2015. It's true. So it worked out. We'll get a chance to go up there and kind of get that back. We won a series against them last year. Georgia, after a one-year hiatus, is back on the schedule. And the last time that we played them was here. That was the ejections series. Remember that? And I was so proud of Zach Selman. Number one, they stayed up basically all night trying to get things resolved. And then he made a statement that morning and kind of ruffled some feathers in the SEC office. Because, you know, instead of letting the SEC make a statement, Zach went out first. And Zach's not an employee of the Southeastern Conference. Zach's an employee of Mississippi State. His allegiance is to us. And so Zach kind of got his side of the story out first, as he should have. And I commend him for doing so. But you remember, that's a Johnny Long game. And Johnny was out of line. He was. There's still a part of me, too, that's kind of glad he did it. Because if you remember, in the year prior, we had people coming to Duty Noble Field, stomping on home plate, and punking us out from their dugout. And that's just not tolerable, if you ask me. I mean, nobody is going to come into our cathedral and disrespect us. Now, again, Johnny's out of line. But there's a silver lining to all of it. I don't necessarily endorse everything that happened, especially the second knee. But I just noticed the last couple of years we hadn't had anybody stomping on a home plate at Duty Noble. Maybe there's a correlation to that. Maybe. We got to have our edge. Tennessee, didn't play them last year. We're going to play them this year. And they're going to play them in Starkville. And we played them a couple of years ago down here, and it was embarrassing. It was terrible. Now, Tennessee last year took a little bit of a step back. We expected some of that. They gutted their pitching staff, too. They processed some guys out. They didn't have near the pitching staff last year, and Frank Anderson is a great pitching coach, former head coach. Has said, you know what, I'll just let Tony do all that stuff. I'm just going to focus on pitchers. And he's a competitor. He is. And Tennessee pitching was not elite last year. They were good. They weren't elite. So they've kind of retooled that pitching staff. So not exactly sure what to expect. But Tony knows guys are always going to have hitters. I look forward to getting them down here and beating them. And I'm reminded, too, something Tony Vitello told me one-on-one in Hoover 2 years ago. Message to all of you. He goes, Steve, can you Be sure and let Mississippi State fans know that I don't want every game that we play against you guys to turn into a hockey fight. We'll go to South Carolina. Last time we went to South Carolina was in 2021. Played them last year, took the series, wish we'd have won it. Brendan Sweeney got us in game one. That was really kind of a low point for me. We rallied back. I remember thinking we were out there like 1 o'clock in the morning, me and my staff talking about, is this the end? Do we need to go ahead and start preparing for a coaching search? Because South Carolina was so bad last year. I was like, man, if we lose this series, we may announce a change next week. And then we rally to win the series, and then you start feeling a little bit better about life. But it's tough. LSU will be our weekend opponent, the weekend of April 24th. And jacked about that. You know, we went down there and got swept last year, but we were in every game. You know, we had some freshmen kind of melt on the mound. We had the lead in every game. Had a chance to win every game. And then ultimately, they go win the national championship. I'm eager to get those guys back up here. They did lose a lot, but they do a good job in the portal. They're going to be a really good team. Then we go to Texas for the first time since 1983. Last year, it was kind of historic. When those guys came here, we were excited about that. Their first ever SEC series as an SEC school was played at Mississippi State, and they ended up sweeping us. It was a terrible start to the season. You know, we had 2 sevens on Sunday, and we couldn't stress their pitching staff. And Volantis was great for them. We'll see him again this year, but we'll see him in Austin, Texas. So go ahead and make plans to be there. That's going to open up the month of May for you. Then we have Auburn coming back in. Auburn's got some really good young talent. They don't have Ike Irish back or McMurray, but they've got some young talent, some guys that played well against us last year that will be here. And so, you know, we think Auburn's going to be pretty good. Maybe not challenging for a top eight this year, but certainly an opportunity to host. I think Auburn, pitching-wise, that's probably the real question. And then we close out the regular season on the road at Texas A&M, and that may be the swan song for Michael Early. I know they got us last year in the SEC tournament. That was a loaded lineup, and they knew they had to go in there and win that thing. They didn't. But some people were trying to get them in the tournament. Oh, you got to get them in the tournament. No, you don't. You don't get to erase a full season of mediocre baseball in a weekend. That's going to be a series that starts on Thursday. We're going to have two of those. The Georgia series will begin on Thursday, and the A&M series will begin on Thursday. Everybody's series that final weekend begins on Thursday. So we'll get more information as we go. Again, to be the man, you got to beat the man, as Ric Flair says. But again, in Mississippi State baseball, we don't have to lower the hurdles. Again, we didn't take full advantage of a favorable schedule last year. But in the Southeastern Conference, every schedule is going to have some difficulty to it. Last year, it was the start, right? Starting out was rough. Despite the fact we knew, hey, we get to the first month of this thing, we're around 500, we got a chance to do some big things. And we've been in the hosting discussion in 24, and last year, of course, there was no doubt about us making the tournament. But we've got to get back to hosting regionals at Duty Noble Field. As many of our astute posters on message boards throughout the universe have said, we did not build that facility to go to road regionals. We go to road regionals maybe in rebuilding years. Does that make sense? I mean, people always say, well, we don't rebuild, we reload. There's some truth to that. But I think a foundational standard for us, at a bare minimum, we're a road regional team each year. That should be an absolute unacceptable scenario that we're not in the tournament. We should always be in the tournament, and some years you may be a 2, some years you may be a 3. But the rule of thumb that we hope under Brian O'Connor will be for us to host regionals. And there's nothing like baseball. Postseason baseball to do, as you guys know. It's incredible. And we get all these teams up here and we have a good time. But, you know, this schedule, again, if we go, we win 18, not only are you hosting, you're probably a top 8 because the metrics are going to be so great for you. And it's like, again, you look at the Brian O'Connor file, right? Spoke to Coach today, as a matter of fact. But you look at the file with him, and it's nuts, man. Like, how many regionals that they were a part of, during his term in Virginia. It's crazy. Didn't make it last year. One of the few years that they did not make a regional. And more times than not, they ended up hosting regionals. So that's what we need to happen here. We have a schedule, again, that is very challenging, but a schedule that would certainly put us in a great position to achieve the opportunity to be a regional host and perhaps a super regional host. And as you guys know, typically when that happens here, we end up going to Omaha. So that's where we stand. And we're going to begin fall scrimmages next week. Not sure what's going to be open to the public yet. Going to be some, not all, but there'll be some. We're already going through workouts, and we're going to scrimmage a lot, and you'll have an opportunity to see the team. I know you're excited about that. But that's your schedule, and that's where things stand right now. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Yeah, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. We've done it and had a blast. It was so nice to have everybody under one roof. Because you know how it is, hey, we're all going to meet up and everybody's going to come to the ball game or whatever. And then next thing you know, you're scattered around the county and it's so tough to coordinate. It's just nice to have everybody together. But it's also the in-between time when you don't have major events, when you can just kind of sit and get caught up. You owe that to yourself and to the people that you love. So make some plans to stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It's the old renovated clubhouse out past the Highlands on 182, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can dig tailgating right there. Got a full-service kitchen, a wet bar, back porch area, fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 2 baths. Incredible place to stay. And again, we hope to do it again sometime soon. We do. But you've got some time yourself. So whether it's a ball game weekend or maybe you got some vacation time and you're not quite sure where to go, why don't you come to your favorite city in the world, Starkville, Mississippi, and come enjoy some of your favorite restaurants. Maybe when the lines aren't quite so long, you have to wait quite as long for a table. You love Starkville. Starkville's a lot of fun even when it's not game day. We love it up here. We love the people. We love our town. Come celebrate it with us. Plenty of parking there. You know, when you've got a larger group getting together, that's one thing you worry about. No worries there. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest, and some booking options pop up. You can get Airbnb, VRBO. Maybe you got a credit with them. I don't know. But if you want to save some money and you don't have a credit, I can give you a promo code that'll save you some money. Book through the Evolve website. And use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Get you 10% off your stay. You'll be glad you did. Just listen to this show. You're saving a few bucks. All right, we did have some big news on the basketball front today. Big commitment announced on the network. Willie Burnett III from Gillian Basketball Academy in Springfield, Virginia. He is a 2026 247 composite four-star. Actually, 247 has him rated just as a 4, as a 90. Rated higher with some other networks, a 96 composite. Really good player. 6'4", 175 pounds. Listed with 8 offers. Took official visits to Mississippi State and Oklahoma State. He visited State prior to the trip to Stillwater. And so it says a lot about Chris Jans and the staff. You don't always have the last visit, but kind of working through the offer sheet here, at least what's reported on our network. Of course, State, Oklahoma State, Arkansas State, Florida State, George Mason, Hampton, UT Martin, Western Kentucky. So some G5 programs in there, but also some Power 4 programs as well. But again, glad to have him for sure. And, again, it's kind of cool too when they announce on our network, and he did that live today. With us. Super cool, right? So we were kind of prepared. Eric Bossy and those guys from the network doing a great job. Mississippi State's current signing class is rated 10th in the country. Got 2 commitments. Ladarius Gavon, a 3-star center, 6'8", 215 pounds out of John Marshall High School in Richmond, Virginia. And then now Willie Burnett III. And so off to a good start, in a good place. We'll see how things go. You know, as as the recruiting process continues. That's big news, and you can read that, his comments about Chris Jans and the Mississippi State experience, but also, too, a nice scouting report on behalf of our national desk. So, again, good coverage day on the men's basketball front, and we certainly appreciate our network partners kind of helping us with that. You can still join jeanspage.com, and we encourage you to do so. A lot of breaking news from time to time, and that's one of the reasons we do it. So it's always kind of a potpourri segment here at the end. We kind of take our news and notes around there. One thing I'm hearing, and we touched on this a little bit on Monday, is we're going to have some guys that are a little bit banged up or whatever, minor things. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we know that the situation with Steen and Woodson. We know that they're out for the year. We got some other guys, though, that just kind of have some nagging things, kind of got beaten up last couple weeks. We'll sit some guys this weekend just to get them healthy, right? There's no point in us playing them in a game like this that we expect to win sizably. And I know some people like, Steve, you're tempting fate. I'm really not. I mean, it's kind of is what it is. But we should win the game handily and, hopefully get out of there healthy. That's always a concern when you play these games. And Calvin Dinkins, of course, now healthy through two games. He's played two games, which is the same number he played the last 2 years combined, but he's had some injuries. And so very happy for him. But again, don't be surprised if you see some faces on the sidelines that aren't dressed or maybe don't play. That's just us being careful, you know, taking precautions with that. And, we don't have an injury report. That won't start until we get into SEC play in a couple weeks when we host Tennessee. So you have to figure it out. You'll be fine. It'll all work itself out. But, a real chance for us to go 4-0. And we talked about that earlier this summer, about how important it was. The Arizona State game was so important because we really needed all four of these non-conference games to give us a real chance to get bowl eligible. After a two-year hiatus, we're jonesing for a winning season. And again, we're still kind of figuring out who's good and who's not. And you never know what teams are going to look like when we play them, right? I mean, we put Arkansas a couple years ago, get KJ didn't play, you know. We knew he wasn't going to play, even though Arkansas was pretty coy about it. No, he makes a trip. We knew he wasn't going to play. We knew it. And they got destroyed in that ball game, as you guys are well aware. So we never know what we're going to look like or our opponents look like by the time we play them. And I can say right now, you know, what we've seen from Ole Miss right now, I think there should be some optimism, despite the fact that they're 2-0, that maybe they're not living up to expectations. And again, a lot of people were kind of, I think, unfair comparisons with Austin Simmons. And I think he is going to be a good player for Ole Miss, but maybe expecting too much too soon. So you start thinking about that aspect of it. We got to make that game matter. And that may be kind of like 2019. We go into that game at home needing to win that ball game to get bowl eligibility. And so we're not playing the Egg Bowl this weekend, so we're not going to sit here and forecast that right now. But the reality of it is, you win this week, as you should, and you get Northern Illinois the next week. And, again, that's not going to be a walk in the park. I know some people are thinking, well, it's just Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois has done a really good job in recent years. You know what they did last year, you know, going into South Bend and beating them, but beat Notre Dame. And that's always a big deal. I think everybody kind of sees that for what it is. But the reality about all this stuff is we're going to have to play football. You know, we're going to have to play, and we can't treat the Huskies just like another game. Thomas Hammack's been there 7 years. Now, he's seven games under 500 during his time there, but they have played in some very competitive football, as you guys are well aware. You know, you guys are fans of college athletics, so you're not the least bit surprised to find out that those guys are playing pretty well. But just kind of look at it right now. The Thomas Hammack file, of course. Again, 33 and 39. He's been to three bowl games. But began 5-7. Then they had the COVID year. They went 0-6. And it's kind of been up and down since then. So 9-5, and they lose the Cure Bowl. They go 3-9 the next year. Then 7-6, 85. So you feel like maybe things are stabilizing a little bit. They won back-to-back bowl games. They're 1-1 right now, and they gave Maryland all kinds of trouble. We talked about that on Monday. They were down a touchdown in the fourth? I think that's correct. I'm going to double-check my work here. Yeah, it was 13-9, and then Maryland scores to kind of put it away. Now, offensively, they have not been elite, only scored 19 points against Holy Cross. They do have an open date this week. And so that's something that's kind of concerning too, right? So, again, anybody expecting us just to kind of show up and be able to just walk over them are kind of kidding themselves. Now, we may do it, but it's going to require good effort for us to do so. Again, excited about the baseball scrimmages too. We will share that with you, and I've got some assurances that even some games that maybe you guys aren't able to go to, we're going to be able to cover over Gene's page. And you'll need to be a VIP member to kind of keep up with all that stuff. But the sentiment that I'm hearing is just how excited everybody is. We've talked to some recruits lately that were in attendance for the football game and how electric the atmosphere was. We'll have a couple more interviews this week with some more guys. Got one going in the morning of a name you know. So we share that with you, and I think that's an important aspect of kind of keeping things up and ramping our coverage up a little bit to kind of keep you apprised. Because I think this 2027 class for Brian O'Connor is going to be elite. It was really good last year, as you guys know, and they kind of came in, trimmed it a little bit, added some of their own pieces, put their own fingerprints on it. But we don't have any Mississippi kids for the 2026 class. It's a really good year in-state for 27. And we do expect that we will be the destination of choice, except for players that perhaps grew up fans of Ole Miss. And, guys, we absolutely support that, right? I mean, you know, how many times do we see it with us? Guys that grow up fans of Mississippi State get a chance to wear the M over S. Guys like Bryce Chance, right? I mean, guys that just love Mississippi State. Hunter Hines grew up wearing it. I think it's a great thing when young people get a chance to play for the team they grew up cheering for. In addition to that, a couple things I wanted, some traveling tips here for you. I want to remind you guys that, you know, cancel culture is a real thing. Kind of going back to our first segment. And you're already seeing some people make some foolish posts on social. And even though they have run to delete them as they've gotten some blowback, screenshots last forever. That's Apple 316. Right? Screenshots last forever. And it's important to understand that. So I'm going to encourage you, no matter your feelings, always be somewhat responsible on social media because of the fact there are always people out there that are going to hold you accountable. And that's a good thing. Accountability is a good thing. And there's some people like, I'll do what I want to do on my social media, Steve. Mind your business. Okay, that's cool too. I'm just being your friend here and telling you that if you put something out there that's inappropriate or offensive about a topic like what we're dealing with today, there's a good chance it's going to wind up in the inbox of your employer. There's absolutely, you're seeing it right now. Like I saw this thing earlier about a New Orleans firefighter. Made some comments, offended people, and I think the NOAA Fire Department's been tagged about 100 times. Not that they don't have enough to do down there, but when you do things like that, it makes it difficult for them to keep you. It does. Especially when you're a person that is supposed to be in the life-saving business and then you go on your personal social media and you show that you don't really have a lot of respect for human life. Those things are going to come back to get you. It's interesting, too, as I think about our young people. And I talked about this, about the joy of our guys and gals being able to rush the field and kind of having their moment. We hadn't rushed the field in 21 years. And so many of them weren't even alive the last time we rushed a field at Mississippi State. And, of course, we didn't have a great season that year, but it was a big deal to beat Florida. It was. But it's important to kind of understand, too, kind of what our young people are dealing with. A lot has happened of the negative variety in the last few years. And I think so much about, our future generation, because my children are a part of that generation. And days like today is what's really important to be mom and dad, and whatever your role may be in the lives of young people. It's important to try to do your best to answer questions and have an open dialogue with them that can be constructive. Because what was witnessed today is going to be incredibly traumatic for a lot of people. And I have always been very transparent with my kids about my own past and things that I've done and things that I've experienced. And I think that's one of the reasons that I have such amazing children. It's because I believe that I have socialized them and prepared them and made them understand that life is not fair and that there is evil in the world. And that's one of the things that I think a lot of people lose track of. When negative things happen, people want to, number one, excuse it. Number two, try to explain it. Sometimes the only explanation is that somebody has just succumbed to evil, period. And for those people, like when I was a kid, like everybody, you thought everybody was your friend and everybody was going to grow up and be supportive of you. That's just not true. It's not true. And the longer that I live, the more that I realize so much of those truisms of early childhood don't ring true in adulthood. There are a lot of people out there that are very vicious, very vindictive, and there are people that will hurt innocent people just to prove their point. And that doesn't know a political affiliation. Evil is not a matter of DNA. It's not a matter of voting preference. Evil is just simply evil. And I think one of the things we have to do as parents and adults is we have to acknowledge evil. There's good and there's evil. And for us to try to explain away when bad things happen and to assign motive to people's actions, good or bad or indifferent, can be very harmful. Like people say, well, they kind of had it coming. No, nobody should die over their political beliefs, period, or their religious beliefs, or their personal beliefs, whatever. It is perfectly okay for us to disagree. I've got a friend, and I won't share the name, even though I love him to death. We are at opposite ends of the political spectrum most of the time. I don't think any less of him because my love for my friend is not wrapped up in our political discussions. And as a matter of fact, my love and appreciation for this friend is actually enhanced because of some of these political discussions. Because I'll just hit him up and say, hey, I don't know what's going on with this. Tell me why people are so upset. Because I'm trying to learn. Because educating yourself about other people's beliefs is a form of love. Right? I want to coexist with everybody. And I understand that's difficult to do. But I'm glad that I have this individual in my life. Because even if they don't agree with some of the rhetoric that's out there, they can explain it to me in a way that I can at least appreciate what the real issue is from the other side. Very, very happy to have that. And I think everybody needs a friend like that. I do. And I think that's one of the things that has enhanced my life is being able to listen to people that I may disagree. And I don't listen to respond. I listen to learn. And I'll tell people, where am I going wrong here? Even if we can't come to an agreement, I think one of the things that's important is to try to have some level of understanding and not just paint with such a broad brush and say, well, everybody that is affiliated with this believes this way, because it's just not true. If two people agree on everything, only one person's doing the thinking. And there are a lot of people out there that have TikTok brain. And then all of a sudden, somebody reads a blog and they believe that everything that is reported is accurate. And they get on TikTok and they go, hey, well, here's what really happened. And they're wrong. But what happens is because these TikTok videos and tweets and Facebook posts have become such a huge part of the vernacular of our society, people accept that stuff as fact and they don't research it. They just say, hey, well, that's how it is, because it fits the agenda. It reinforces the vacuum in which a lot of people choose to live. I like having friends on both sides of the aisle. I like having friends that even have different religious beliefs than me, because I think it's important that I can have a dialogue with them. I feel like I'm getting tapes across enemy lines, right? I'm getting the playbook, right? I'm not a person that gets out here and argues politically and stuff, because I respect everybody's beliefs. And I may be wrong. I might be wrong about stuff. But also, too, as a business person, I'm largely apolitical. I have some very strong political beliefs. I have a lot of very devout and strong religious beliefs that may surprise some of you. Just because I look a certain way doesn't mean I am a certain way. And so I think it's important, no matter who you voted for, when we have situations like this, let's not politicize it. And it happens. I mean, the Facebook stuff just absolutely drives me crazy. And there's so many people out there, again, that are monetized for engagement. And so they post rage bait. They go out and post some ridiculous thing on Twitter. And I don't think a lot of those people believe it. They just know it's going to draw a reaction and then engagement, which in turn leads to compensation. But there are some other people that believe these things. They truly do. They think this is how it's supposed to be. And there are a lot of people out there that think that everything that their favorite political candidate says is correct. And you know what? All those people are wrong. They're all wrong. You got to learn to think for yourself. But again, it's been a dark day in our country. My firm belief, and will always be, is that everybody should feel the need to be able to speak out without fear of physical repercussions. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just that's the thing that just blows my mind, is that somebody can get shot and killed in front of thousands of people over what they believe. And even if I don't agree with it, I've listened to so many people over the years that, that's one of the great things about technologies, right? That we can listen to some of these great old speeches of the past from different leaders. I've listened to so many people that I don't align with politically in many respects, but I listen to kind of understand. And it's just incredible to me that because we don't share certain ideals, people see each other as enemies. It just blows my mind. I mean, as bitter as the state and Ole Miss rivalry is, I don't want anything bad to happen to them outside of losing a football game, losing a baseball game or a basketball game. I don't wish harm on those people. I don't want them to win. But despite the fact that how some of them have treated me, I still recognize that they're people. And they're people that live a life similar to mine in many respects. They have the same wishes and goals in life. But if never have I felt like, hey, I would like to be violent against them, And that's kind of driving it home and maybe putting a little bit of a micro on it. But there's a lot of things that I don't like about life. And a lot of people out there that I strongly disagree with. But I don't hate anyone. I hate ideals. I hate certain policies. But I don't hate people. I think it's important to place principles before personalities. Because I also know, too, like we had a long discussion. I'm not going to get into this in great detail. But I've had some people locally, politically, that have asked me to endorse certain candidates and things like that. I'm like, I can't do that. I can't. And, we had some other things that kind of popped up. And I just told somebody. I said, hey, listen, I don't like what you're doing. And they're like, oh, I don't understand. And I explained to them, like, hey, listen, I'd like to know what your motivation is for doing this, because I can't support you in any way. I'm not going to do it publicly anyway. I'm not going to go out and make some political statement and publicize my support for you. But what are we doing? And I like the fact that I've got the legal right to redress my government if I have questions. I can go to a town hall meeting. I can talk to Lynn Spruill if I want to. And I can ask about certain things. And there's some things that she's done and hadn't done that I don't approve of. Nobody's ever going to do everything the way I want them done. But I also know that these are people that chose a life of servitude and to improve the community. And I support that, even if I'm not always in agreement with them. And I feel like I've been kind of preachy today, and I don't mean to be. It's been a difficult day for a lot of us, and it's going to be more difficult. And the one thing that I hope that we don't see is, you know, retaliatory violence. And I've seen so many people out there. It's like, this is war and that kind of stuff. I think it's time for us to kind of really bring the rhetoric down. I think there are some people out there that have been incredibly irresponsible when they've run their mouth. And what you don't understand is how much power those words may have. And it may motivate somebody maybe that's not as well-intended as you to do something incredibly harmful. And while I don't think you deserve to go to jail for it, you got some blame in it. You do. So I love each and every one of you. I want the things that I want for myself, I want for you. I do. And the thing that I've always said, like people have always asked me about like the Flim Flam movie and that kind of stuff. And guys, we've been so close a couple times. And I got some of my friends, I said, dude, does it bum you out? Man, it's such a unique story that they hadn't made this a movie yet or like a Netflix documentary. And the way that I always look at it, man, and I truly mean this, is if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. Right? I'm just going to live a life of gratitude and keep doing what I do. And if the good Lord chooses to bless us with that, then we'll have it. And if not, I can live the rest of my life being okay with that. And there were times in my life I wouldn't have felt that way. That's what long-term sobriety and maturity and maybe becoming a grandfather has taught me, is there's a lot of things in life that are a lot more important than that. Yeah, it'd be great for my book sales, you know, would be. You know, probably great for my pocketbook, but, you know, there may be a reason that it hadn't happened yet, you know? That's the thing you always have to consider. If God wants me to have it, I'll have it. I've done my part. I think I've written a great work, and I've had a lot of people that that know me from all that. But, you know, I just try to get up every day and do as much good as I can, try to produce as much content for you guys as I can, and at the same time, too, you know, try to be a loving husband and father and grandfather. You know, and sometimes that all takes a back seat to all of this, and everybody in my family understands. But the reality of it is that, you know, we're only given today. You know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You hear that stuff all the time. And I've seen so many things today, and people are like, I just want to put my hands on my kids. I just want to be able to go hug my kids after days like today. And I think that's one of the things. I think about the old Sting song, you know, when we were in the middle of the Cold War, and he goes, you know, I hope the Russians love their kids too. You know, and that's kind of how I feel about the human aspect of all of this. It's so easy to paint people as a villain, but there are people that rely on us and depend on us that love us, and we need to love them back, and they should be the priority. And as soon as I get done with this, I'm going to go hug and kiss my wife. I hadn't seen her since she left this for work this morning, and we're going to talk about the day's events as much as she wants to. And then we're going to eat a late dinner, and we're going to watch a little TV, and we're going to get up tomorrow, and both of us are going to try to do as much good as we can in the world. I'd encourage you to do the same. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.